My wife's car is available.
She's not using the server?
No, she's in New York.
Yeah. So then if we have someone to drive the car ready.
Oh, I have to go out and get the keys. Okay.
Okay, I'll figure that out.
Okay, that's good. We pointed out yesterday that once you say bracha on a little bit of food, and you don't talk in between the bracha and the first bit of food, then you're okay. Then you're permitted to talk in between the first bit of food and the next bit of food. Some had the practice, the Rashash and the Dorim points out that some had the practice that you say Hamotzi Lachmanotzi, put the bread in your mouth and you start talking before you start chewing it. And then you start talking before you swallow. So the Rashash quotes the Achronim and say that that's not right. That when you chew food, you don't swallow it, then you don't have to say a bracha. You only say a bracha if you swallow. So you really shouldn't talk in between the bracha and the swallowing of the food. It doesn't help that you're chewing the food. So he's meyashiv a little bit, that maybe the chewing is the beginning of the swallowing. So maybe since he started to chew it, and then he's going to swallow it later, so maybe it's okay. But the poskim and Shulchan Aruch say it's not right that people put the food in their mouth, they start chewing, and then they start talking before they swallow. So again, so we explained that the bracha, this Rav Soloveitchik explained, the bracha is really only chal on the first bit of food that you swallow, and the rest of the food is muta without the bracha. The whole din is only with the rabban, and also the hardest man, other mazeh, but like bracha. The chachamim want misakim with the rabban, they have to recite a bichas on then, and so they made a takana, you have to say a bracha on the first bit of food. The rest of the food that you eat that's covered with the same bracha is doesn't need a bracha. Doesn't need a bracha. The same thing, ikra and tofel. Said bar pi hadama on the potato, and the potato has margarine on it or has salt on it. Bar pi hadama doesn't apply to salt and doesn't grow from the ground. You have to say shakol, but bir halika patas hatfela. Why is that? That's the din. As long as you said a bracha on the ikra, then the tofel doesn't need a bracha. Not that the tofel is covered with the bracha of the ikra, bar pi hadama doesn't apply to the salt. Tofel doesn't need a bracha. The question is, what about birchas hamitzvos? The chachamim were misakim birchas hamitzvos as well. So what Tosfos in Chulin has this discussion. A person is going to shecht for an hour. The shochtim take turns in the slaughterhouse. So he's going to shecht for an hour. He's going to shecht 500 chickens in 1 hour. Okay, if not more. They shecht very quickly. They shecht very quickly. They have a conveyor belt and they have a guy hold the wings that doesn't flap, and the sheikh just does 1, 2, 3, and they shecht them very, very quickly. So the sheikh, so Tosis has two opinions. Is it the same din? You're not allowed to talk him into the bracha ala shechita, shekadoshan mitzvos v'tzavanu ala shechita, and shechita of the first chicken. Maybe the first one will turn out to be a trefa, so shecht 10 chickens. So among the 10, mistama, one of them is going to be kosher. We don't say a bracha when you shecht a trefa. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote that Rashi's opinion was Rashi and Sefer Pardes. Those are the Tshuvas of Rashi. So Rashi is quoted in the Sefer Pardes. The Talmidim put together the Tshuvas Rashi. Rashi's opinion is that since Shechitas Trefas Metaheres Medeine Veila, you're not allowed to eat it. When you shecht the Trefa, you're not allowed to eat it. If you shecht and it turns out to be Neveila, you did a poor job, then it's mamash not a Shechita at all. It's not Metaheres Medeine Neveila either. As Tumas Neveila and Isar. Isar Achilim Neveila. But if you shecht an animal that's diseased, and you're not allowed to eat it because it's a trefa, but it's not in the veil, so the shechita has been tied in the veil. So Rashi's opinion is that you say bracha, even if you know in advance that the animal is a trefa, you say bracha because you know the shechita is going to affect the chalois. It's going to be chal in time of the veil. We don't paskin like Rashi. We don't follow Rashi. So our practice is that if we know in advance the animal is a trefa, we don't say bracha. If it says in simi yotes, and Yeridei, the beginning of Yeridei starts with Hilchos Shechita, then it goes to Hilchos Treifas, then it has Vasa Bechala, but then Taruvas. So in Hilchos Shechita, Simen Yutes is a simen about Bichos HaShechita. So the Ramah has this case, if an animal fell down a flight of stairs, then there's a concern that maybe the ribs punctured a hole in the lungs, maybe it's a nekev in the Reya. So you shouldn't say a bracha in advance of the shechita, you should first shecht it. then cut it open and check the lungs to make sure that there are no treifas. And then if you see, they used to shecht one animal at a time. We shecht 1,000 animals at a time. But they shecht one cow, so they would and it fell down a flight of stairs. So the Gemara says you have to be biting the lungs to make sure that it doesn't have a puncture in the lungs. So after you check, it'll take a few minutes. You cut it open, and then you check the lungs, and you blow air. You have a bucket of water, and you put the lungs under water, and you blow through the air pipe, and no bubbles come up from under the water. So obviously there are no holes in the ray, in the lungs. So then after you ascertain that there are no nekiv in the ray, then you say the bracha. So that's where the Shach has the long discussion. There is a machlokes, the Rambam, and there is a Ruah. The Gemara says, "Misochem and Abzayin kol haMitzvus kulam avarach aleihem over lasiyosim." The more correct practice is, you should say the bracha before you do the mitzvah. Why do you say over instead of kaidem? Over means immediately before you do the mitzvah. You shouldn't be over the over. Over the over means too far in advance. So the chatchili is supposed to say the bracha over lasiyosim immediately before you're about to do the mitzvah. What if a person put on, let's say, talis and tefillin before mishayakir? Mashiach's chaver, let's say, is Moshe Feinstein writes that it's approximately 35, 40 minutes before sunrise in New York. Different areas in the world is different amount of time before sunrise, before Hanetz Achama. So in New York, it's something between, I thought it's between 30 and 35 minutes, so Moshe had better eyes than me, so he says between 35 and 40 minutes before sunrise. So what if a person puts on Talisman film before then, so he doesn't say a bracha? So after he finishes Ishtabach, then it's already Mishiakir's Chaver, then he should say the bracha there. He forgot, so he put on talis and tefillin before Mishiakir, and then he davens up, and then he takes off his talis and tefillin. And after he takes it off, then he realized he forgot to say a bracha. Is it too late to say the bracha? If he's still wearing the talis and tefillin, so he can say the bracha. It's over Lassios, and he's going to continue to wear the talis and tefillin. The Chatchila, the Gemara says, he should be memashmesh betfillin, so it looks like it's over lasiyosim. But even if he's not memashmesh, mikradin, it's still over lasiyosim because he continues to wear the tefillin and to wear the talis. The Pashto says that memashmesh doesn't help. Let's say a person put up a mezuzah, a person moves into an apartment, puts a mezuzah day number one. Why does he put it right away? He rented an apartment. So the Gemara says, when you rent, so the chiyuv mezuzah only begins after 30 days. So some Rishonim said that if you signed a 2-year lease, so the chiyuv mezuzah begins right away. You don't have to wait till you actually live there for 30 days. The chiyuv mezuzah is right away. And others disagree with Pharisees. They say even if you plan to live there for more than 30 days, chiyuv mezuzah only begins after 30 days. How can they satisfy the both opinions? So what people do is they put up the mezuzah right away the first day. And then they take it down after 30 days and they put it back up again and then they say the bracha. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. He says, well, you have to take it down and put it up. Put up the mezuzah right away, day number one. Then on day 31, Yom Lamanal, if you touch the mezuzah, you mashmesh, and then you say the bracha. So all the classical poskim before Moshe was born, they all say that that's not correct. The mashmesh only helps if you're wearing the talis and you're wearing the tefillin. It's over lasiyosim anyway because he's still wearing it. He's still doing, actually doing the mitzvah. So then you mashmish betfillin, it looks better. But even if you're not mashmish, it's over lasiyosim because you're wearing it. You're doing the maisa mitzvah. But the mezuzah, you already did the maisa mitzvah. You don't say a bracha on the kima mitzvah. Let's say I put up a mezuzah on your door. You don't feel well, you're not strong enough. You don't know how to hold a hammer, whatever. So you ask me to put up the mezuzah. So who's mekayim the mitzvah mezuzah? You are. You live in the house. I'm mekayim the mitzvah of gemilas chasodim. I did you a toiv. But you're mekayim the mitzvah of mezuzah. So I say the bracha shekadoshanu b'mitzvah l'kvar mezuzah. Even though I'm not mekayim the mitzvah of mezuzah, the one who does the maisa mitzvah is mekayim the mitzvah. Maisa mitzvah is when you nail up the mezuzah on the door. The fact that it's still there, hanging on the door, that's not a maisa mitzvah. That's the kima mitzvah is a mitzvah hanem sheches. As long as if the mezuzah falls down, then you got to put it up again. When the mezuzah falls down, or someone burns the mezuzah, or someone steals the mezuzah, then from that point on, you're not yotzei. You don't say, as long as nailed on the mezuzah, so you're yotzei the mitzvah forever. You're not yotzei forever. You only yotzei calls upon the mezuzahs on the door, but you don't say a bracha because you move into a house that has good mezuzahs. You don't say a bracha. Magen Avraham made up a new. Magen Avraham says, you move into a house that has mezuzahs, so they say a bracha, shekereshonu b'mitzvah, yisav b'tzivanu, ladu b'abai sheyesh bo mezuzah. So the other Achrenim disagree. Birke Yosef, the Pischei Tshuva, the end of Hilchas Mezuzah, and Yerodei Chelagim, disagrees. And he quotes all the classical poskim and disagree with the Mogen Avraham. You only say a bracha when you're doing a maisa mitzvah, not when you have a kiyama mitzvah without a maisa mitzvah. So when you put up the mezuzah on day number one, then it comes day 31, you're not doing any maisa mitzvah. So what is it going to help that you've been mashmesh? The mashmesh is if you're still wearing the talus and still wearing the tefillin. So what if the fellow already took off the talus and he took off the tefillin and he realized he forgot to say the bracha? When he put on the talus and tefillin, it was before Mishayakir, so you're not supposed to say the bracha then. And then he forgot to say the bracha after Yishtabach, and then he forgot to say the bracha the whole time he was wearing the tefillin. Now he took off the tefillin. He's putting into the tefillin zekel. Is it too late to say the bracha now? So the Rambam says, Farfal, Mashanasa Kvanasa. You can't say a bracha la'acharasi yosam, and if you say the bracha after you took off the talus and tefillin, it'll be a bracha la'vatol. And the Ozarua disagrees. And the Ozarua quotes, he doesn't quote the Rambam, I don't think he quotes the Rambam, he shows from a Mishnah the Shach and Simon Yutas, and the Yoredei quotes all of this. He quotes a Mishnah in the end of Psochim. Mishnah has the very last daf in Psochim, there's Machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah, on Leil HaPesach, you eat two kabbalas. When they say, V'nochel Sham, Yiratzen Shebarim Beisam Yigdash, V'nochel Sham, Erazvachem, and Min HaPsochim. We should eat the Chagigas Harba Osar. On Pesach Shavuosukas, there's a mitzvah to bring a korban chagiga. That's to be makariv it, to do the shechita on Pesach, on Shavuos, on Sukas. If you shech the korban chagiga on our Pesach, you're not yotze. It's a kosher korban chagiga. It's a shlomim. It's not a new thing. It's a korban shlomim. So you have to shech the korban shlomim on Pesach. You're not yontem rachalamoid. We shech it on Pesach, you're not yotze. But there was a chagiga sarba osar. So that's a machlokes satanoi, whether chagiga sarba osar is deraisa or derabanan. What is the purpose of Chagigas Arba Asar? That the Pesach should be Nechal Al Hasova. You shouldn't eat the Korban Pesach at the beginning of the meal because it may be starving. You're not supposed to eat too much on every Pesach. Kadesh Yochal Korban Pesach L'Teyovan. So you may be starving, and the Korban Pesach has to be Bashnasa. Bashnasa means before the first birthday. And they're born in the springtime. So usually they're just 2 weeks old. Usually they're born around then. There's a season. It's not like human beings are every day in the year the same percentage of people are born, I think. No? Full moon, new moon, I don't think it's relevant. The tidal waves, I don't think anything is relevant. For Hilchas Nida is relevant. What causes a woman to have a Rias Nida? All kinds of crazy things are relevant. But as far as babies are concerned, day and night, the summer, winter, the same percentage of babies are born every day of the year. But behemoths is not so. There's a season when the behemoths are born. So the season is the springtime. So the behemoths are very young. You can't bring the korban pesach. You can't bring any korban. Ben shmoneh yomim. You can't bring the korban before the eighth day. The eighth day means if it's born on Wednesday, you can't bring it before Wednesday. Wednesday is the eighth day. Same day of the week that it was born. It's the eighth day like a bris milah. A bris milah is like a korban. That's what the Zohar says. A bris milah is like a korban. That's why you have to wait till the eighth day by the bris. The same as you have to wait till the eighth day by the korban. So the benakvasa b'menuizim tikochu has to be behema daka, not a behema gasa, and has to be bashnasa before the first birthday. So if it was born last year, it's probably going to be too old, going to be after the first birthday. So if it was just born a couple of weeks ago, just born a week ago, so the bones are going to be very soft. And there's a special din only applies to Korban Pesach. Etzem alasishburabo shviras etzem is anisa shviras etzem yivayla. Even if you chew the bone, let's say the bone is very soft, the Rambam says. You have atzamas harakas, very soft bones, and you chew them and you swallow them. So it's also a violation of shviras etzem. Or let's say you chew the bone and you suck out the marrow inside. Also nisar shviras etzem. Even if you want to get to eat the marrow inside, you're not allowed to. So the chachamim made a din. You're not allowed to eat the korban pesach at the beginning of the meal. At pesach and nechal ala sova at the end of the meal. At the end of the meal. So what should you eat before that the Korban Pesach should be nechal al hasover? You eat the Chagigas HaBosah. So they made a takana. That's what we assume. Chagigas HaBosah is lav deraisa. One ton of holes is deraisa and is decha Shabbos. If there are Pesach holy is b'Shabbos, not only Korban Pesach is decha Shabbos because it's manakavua, so Chagigas HaBosah is also decha Shabbos. And we don't pass them like that. We pass on Chagigas HaBosah is lav deraisa. The Korban Chagiga, that's a deraisa. Riyah Chagiga, Simcha. On Sholosh Regolim, the Gemara says, on each one of the Sholosh Regolim, my Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, when we have to be Oyla Regal, you have to bring three karbonos, Oyla Sriya, Shalmei Chagiga, and Shalmei Simcha. That's deraisa. That's based on psukim. But chagigas arbaas on erev Pesach, that's lav deraisa. That's in order that the korban Pesach should be nechal al asova. So the Mishnah has a machlokes hatanoim. So Rabbi Shmuel says in the last Mishnah in Psochim, birach al Pesach patzeres hachagiga, birach al hachagiga loy patzeres haPesach. Before you're about to eat the korban chagiga, you say shekedushonu. The mitzvah is of tzivano alachilas. What do you say? Alachilas hazevach, I think. Alachilas hazevach. And before you eat the korban pesach, you say asher gesham sas tzivano alachilas haPesach. So Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah holds that you have an ikar and a tofel here, just like there's a din of ikar and tofel by birchas hanenin. So too there's a din of ikar and tofel and birchas hamitzvahs. Birch al ikar, but there's a tvelo. So the ikar is the korban pesach. The whole purpose of the Chagigas Abu Asr is that the Pesach should be Nechal al Asova, he shouldn't violate Shvira Setzim. Who says that? Who says that? That the whole purpose of the Chagigas Abu Asr is that it should be Nechal al Asova, you shouldn't violate Shvira Setzim? Tosis quotes it from Yerushalmi. Tosis and Dafayin Omen Aleph from Sochem quotes it from the Talmud Yerushalmi. So the Rabbi Shmuel says in the Mishnah, Biruch Alika Patas Atfela. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees, and we pass like Rabbi Akiva, Lob. Lo bichas haPesach pateres es hazevach. Lo bichas hazevach pateres es haPesach. Each one has to have its own bracha. Yeah. So the Yoza Ruah raises a question. The din is that what was the example of Ikra and Tofel that the Mishnah gave? The fella ate a herring that was very, very salty, too salty. And he wants to eat a piece of bread just to wipe out the salt in his mouth. We wouldn't eat a piece of bread. We would rinse our mouth out with Listerine or something to clean out the flavor. You brush your teeth with Colgate. You do something else. We wouldn't eat a piece of bread. They didn't have Colgate and they didn't have Listerine. So the way to get out the salty flavor from the mouth and from the throat is to chew a piece of bread and then to swallow the bread. Why should they throw it out? Tabal Tashka said they would swallow the bread. So they're not really interested in eating the bread for the sake of the bread. It's a tuffle to the salty herring. So first he ate the herring, and then he ate the bread. So the herring was the ikar, and the bread is the tuffle. So biruch alika patas hatfelo. What if you have a case that the person is eating the tuffle before the ikar? Let's say we gave a case. You have potatoes and you have margarine on the potatoes, or you have butter on the potatoes, or you have salt on the potatoes. And the person is going to say, Bar Pi Hadom, and he's not going to say Shahakol on the margarine or on the butter. And then the child gets to his potatoes, and he starts licking off the butter first. He starts licking off the salt first. So he's eating the tuffel before the yikr. So the din is, if you eat the tuffel before the yikr, you have to say a bracha. In this case, the bracha happens to be Shahakol. The bracha on salt or the bracha on butter or margarine happens to be shakom. What if it would be the bracha on the tofu would be huadoma or something else? So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. You say that whenever you eat a tofel, normally if you eat the tofel after the ikar, you don't need to say the bracha at all. Biruch alika patas atvel. If you eat the tofel before the ikar, then you have to say bracha on the tofel. So do you say bracha haruyola? Whoever it happens to be, Hadama, who eats, Mezainas, Hamoitzi, you have to say the real bracha to say no, because it's a tafel, it's knocked, the bracha is knocked down to Shahakol. Just like we had, if you eat something, Shaloka Derech Achilasan, it's abnormal, then you say Shahakol. So if you eat something, that's a tafel, then maybe the bracha is knocked down to Shahakol. So there is such an opinion. We really don't paskin like that. We paskin, if you eat the tofel before the ikar, then you say the bracha haruyolo. Whatever the bracha is supposed to be, by the butter on the potato or the salt on the potato, the bracha happens that it is shahakol. It wasn't knocked down to anything. But whatever the bracha is supposed to be. So the Yerushal Ruah raises a question. I don't think he quotes the Rama. Yerushal Ruah, the Shach puts the two together. Shach points out the Yerushal Ruah and the Rama are in disagreement with each other. Who was the Yerushal Ruah? When did he live? He's from the end of the end of the period of the Balei HaTosfos. The Yerushal Ruah was the Rebbe of the Maharam Rutenberg, who was the Rebbe of the Rosh. That was the end of the Tkufa of the Balei HaTosfos. The Yerushal Ruah lived in Vienna. Rabbeinu Yitzchak, Yerushal Ruah, not to be confused with the other Riyaz, Rabbeinu Yishai Achron Zal, who wrote the Tosfos Rid. The Shachan Yeredeya points out that sometimes the Rishonim quote the Riyaz saying one thing, and other Rishonim quote the Riyaz saying a different thing. So he said they're two different Riyazes. Who's Usually, the one who quotes the Riyaz, Rabbi Yeshaya Achman Zal, the Tosfos Rid, is a Shilti Giborim. He always quotes Loshen Riyaz. Now in Mosad Rav Kook, they printed all the Tosfos Rids and all the Riyazes and everything. But for many centuries, we just had the quotations that the Shilti Giborim quotes. So the Orza Rua raises a question. How can Rabbi Shmuel say that if Birchas HaPesach Poteres Es HaZevach, you eat the Chagigas HaBasa before you eat the Korban Pesach? So you're eating the Tofel before the Iker. So the Bracha, how can you say, you don't say a Bracha on the Chagigas HaBasa because you plan to eat the Korban Pesach, you're going to say the Bracha on the Korban Pesach later. But whenever you eat the Tofel before the Iker, in Hilchas Birchas HaNenin, you got to say a Bracha on the Tofel before. So how come over here, Rabbi Shmuel says no bracha is to be recited over the Chagigas HaBasa because it's only a tofel to the Korban Pesach. But the Korban Pesach you eat after. You eat it, it's Nechal HaLasov at the end. So the Azura says it must be that the Mishnah is talking about an Ukimta case. It means it's not talking about a normal case. In a normal case, on Pesach night you eat the matzah, you say a moitzi, alachilas matzah, and then you eat the Chagigas HaBasa first. So you got to say a bracha, alachilas ha-zevach. You have to say the bracha. But the Mishnah is talking about a case like this. He's in the middle of the Seder, he said, Amoitzi, Achilos Matzah. Then he ate the Chagigas HaBasa, he forgot to say a bracha. He was using the old Maxwell House Haggadah that was Bizman HaChurban. It doesn't have what bracha to say, Achilos HaPesach, Achilos HaZevach. And he's too cheap to buy a new. Maxwell House went out of business. Mashiach came. And they bring in Korbanos on the base. He doesn't have Haggadah for his Zman HaMikdash. The Rambam has. His Zman HaMikdash say this, his Zman HaMikdash say that. He doesn't have a Rambam. Just has the old Haggadah that we've been using for 1,800 years since the Churban HaBayis. We say a different Haggadah. Now comes the base HaMikdash. He's supposed to say a bracha al achilas hazevach. So he didn't realize. So he eats the Chagigas HaBasa, and then he's about to eat the Korban Pesach. Then someone brings to his attention, hey, you forgot to say the bracha on the Korban Chagig. He says, it doesn't happen in Haggadah. He says, Chacham. The Haggadah doesn't have, it was Bizman HaChurban. You need a Haggadah, Bizman HaBayis. You need a new Haggadah. So now he's about to eat the Korban Pesach. So does he say a bracha l'sha over, lachar asiyosam, al achilas hazevach, on the Chagig is haba osa, and another bracha on the Korban Pesach? Or should I say no? Beruch alayikir, potas hatvelo. If he does everything in the right order, he says a bracha on the Chagigas HaBasa before he eats it, then he says a bracha on the Korban Pesach before he eats it. But Hochem and Mayaskin on the last Mishnah in Psochim, on the last daf, is talking about this, it's an Ukimta Pshat. But he says the Mishnah is difficult, it can't be. Mishnah is talking, when he says a bracha on the Korban Pesach, that should pata the Chagigah. How can it be? So it must be Hochem and Mayaskin on, he ate the Chagigah, forgot to say a bracha. Now he's about to eat the Korban Pesach. It says a bracha al achilas haPesach, so should he still say the bracha al achilas haZevach on the Chagigah that he finished eating or not? So the Ozura says, from this Mishnah you see that b'di'evet, if you didn't say the bracha, you can say it lachar asiyosam right away. If he forgot, let's say, he forgot to say the bracha on the talis and tefillah in the morning, then when he davens mincha in the afternoon, he realizes that he forgot to say the bracha. If it's hours later, so it's too late, but if it's immediately following, he just took off his talis and tefillin, realized he forgot to say a bracha, so the Ozeru would say, let him say a bracha, b'di'evet, l'achar asiyosam, and the Rambam says not so. That's the question, the Ramot paskins in Shulchan Aruch, that if an animal fell down a flight of stairs, and you're concerned that maybe it broke some ribs, maybe you have broken ribs, and maybe the broken ribs punctured a hole, in the lungs, maybe there's a nekev in the reya. So you don't say a bracha in advance. We don't follow Rashi's opinion. Rashi holds you do say a bracha when you shecht the trefa. We don't pass like that. So you don't say a bracha before you shecht. You wait till you shecht it properly, and then you check the lungs. And if you see that it's not a trefa, then you say the bracha. So it sounds like the Ramah is paskening like there is a rua that b'di'evit, if you didn't say the bracha over l'asiyosam, that you're able to say the bracha l'achar asiyosam. That's what it sounds like. So some of the mefarshim on the page there in Siman Yutes say no. The Gemara says in Psochim on Dav Zayin that kol ha-mitzvus kula mevarach aleihem over l'asiyosam, but here and there is an exception to the rule. Once in a while there is a mitzvah that you're just unable to say the bracha over l'asiyosam. It's a tach tikna chacham to say the bracha l'achar asiyosam. Gemara gives an example. A non-Jew converts, and he's tovel in the mikveh. So he wants to say the bracha shekadoshana b'mitzvah yisavitzivanu al hatvilo. But he's going to say the bracha before he's tovel. He's not Jewish. He can't say kedushana b'mitzvah yisavitzivanu. It's just not true. So tovel the Allah, after he's tovel, it comes out of the mikveh. He has to cover up his body a little bit. Can't say a bracha when he's undressed. So that we had earlier in brachas, how do you navigate that issue if the guy's in the mikveh, how to say a bracha. So the Gemara says, since hakati gabra lochazi, since the person is unable to recite the bracha over lasiyasim because he's not Jewish, so then kach tikna chacham, they say the bracha lachar asiyasim. Tov al biyola, when the ger is tovel in the mikveh, and then he comes up, now he's Jewish. First he has to have mila. When he does the mila, he doesn't say a bracha. The moel says a bracha. The moel is doing the ma'isa mitzvah. The moel says a bracha. Sometimes you have a non-Jewish woman married a Jewish man, and they have a child, so the child is not Jewish. So they call a moel that the moel should do a bris mila. So they should really tell a moel, is this a mila the shem geiris? Are they converting the baby, or is it? You have to tell a moel whether the mother is Jewish, mother is not Jewish. If the mother is Jewish, then it's a bris mila, it's a mitzvah mila. So then you say ala mila. If the mother is not Jewish and you're doing the mila the shem geiris in order to convert the baby, so then you say a different nusach habracha lama lasagerim. Then you say a different. Also, the next bracha is also different. By us, we say, what did we say? Shekira she did min bet b'chok b'sheva sam a long bracha. But by the Gerim, you have a whole different nusach, what bracha they say. And then there's also a question, is that right? If the mother is not Jewish and the father is Jewish, you're going to convert the child. You convert a baby, the Gemara says you can convert an infant who's being adopted, who's being brought up by religious parents. We assume that that's a schusu. Zochen liyadnu v'shlai v'fanav. It's in the best interest of the baby. It's better for a person to be brought up as a Jew than to be brought up as a non-Jew. He's going to have Olam Haba, he's going to have all these mitzvahs, he's going to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this is only by Medvar Mamurim, if he's being adopted by a religious family. But if the mother is not Jewish and the father is Jewish, the mother's going to cook tray for food every day, the mother's going to be Mechal Shabbos and not going to give him a Torah education, so then it's not a schus for the child, then it's a chayva. So the whole geris is not valid. The whole adoption is not valid. So that's stop. That's not right. The moel is not supposed to perform a bris mila on a baby who's born to a non-Jewish mother who's married to a Jewish man. The baby's going to think that he's Jewish, and he's just not Jewish. It's even if he's going to do the mila, the shem geirus, and you're going to be tovel a baby in a mikveh, it doesn't seem to be a schus. And even if later on the kid falls into NCSY and it becomes very religious, it's not going to help, because Zochen Lama Shalai B'Fanav depends at the time that we did this chiyah, that it appeared that it's going to be L'Tay V'Asar. At the time we did this chiyah, it looked that it's not going to be L'Tay V'Asar. The mother's not Jewish and the father's Jewish. It's not L'Tay V'Asar. The mother's not Jewish. So what's this chus? She's cooking all the kosher food that she cooks. It's Bishol Akum. It's probably not going to be kosher food either. Why should she be cooking kosher food? It's not going to keep Shabbos. It's not going to keep any mitzvahs. So the child is not going to get a Jewish education. So that's right. So the moilim, it's a little bit of a joke today. So the moilim, before, when someone calls the moilim and they say they want to have a bris, he has to ask whether the mother and the baby is Jewish. The mother's not Jewish. Not supposed to do a bris mila unless they're adopting, unless it's a religious family, an observant family is adopting a baby. So then we say, Zochen le'anum shlo v'fanav. We assume that it's a schus. So the Gemara says that there are certain cases, there are exceptions to the rule. The Gemara says, lulav dalad minim also. The bracha is always recited lachar asiyasim. Because he can't recite the bracha before he pick up the dalad minim. That's considered over the over. That's too far in advance. Once he picked up the dalad minim, so mirag bein afek bein, so you're yotze ready. So the Gemara says that the bracha on dalad minim is always lachar asiyasim, just like by the ger, kach tikun chachamim, that the bracha is always recited Asher Kishan Tatsan Al Atfil has always recited Lachar Asiyasam after his Tav of the Allah, Bal Yasa Huayma, the Broch Al Atfil. So, to by the Dalaminim, the Broch has always recited Lachar Asiyasam. The Bali Atosis came up, they outsmarted the Gemara. The Gemara says that by Dalaminim, you always say the Broch Al Lachar Asiyasam. So, the Bali Atosis figured out how to say the Broch Al Atfil. So, they say, you hold the Dalaminim, hold the Esrog upside down. You hold the Dalaminim and you have a mind not to be Yotze. You hold the Dalaminim, some of the Sfardim have such a practice. You hold the Esrig in the right hand and the Lulav in the left hand. And the Rabbein Hananel says, if you switched hands, you're not Yotze. All the other Mepharshim know, Afchei, if you held it upside down, it's not Kederach Dilosim, you're not Yotze. Rabbein Hananel learns Afchei, the Magen Avraham quotes this Rabbein Hananel. Magen Avraham was before the Vilna Shas printed the Rabbein Hananel on the side, but he had a Rabbein Hananel. Okay? Just like the Vilna Shas publishers had a Rabbein Hananel, so the Magen Avraham also had a Rabbein Hananel, not printed on the side. Yeah, a manuscript, I guess. So he quotes this Rabbein Hananel, that if you held the Esrig in the right hand, the Lulav in the left hand, you're not even Yotze B'Dieved if you're a writer. You have to hold the Lulav in the right hand and the Esrig in the left hand. So the Balei HaTosfos outsmarted the Gemara. That's what the Balamor makes fun of the Balei HaTosfos. What they outsmart the Gemara? The Gemara says that this is one of the exceptions to the rule, that the Bracha and the Alaminim is always said L'achar Asiyosim, like the Bracha by the Ger. So again, so the Ramon Yerudei and Simon Yutes has this case. If an animal fell down a flight of stairs, and the Gemara says, we're concerned maybe it broke some ribs. Maybe the broken rib has a jagged edge. Maybe the jagged edge of the broken rib punctured a hole in the lungs. And then it's a nekiv in the reya, so it's going to be a trefa. So you shouldn't say a bracha. Before you shecht. So Rama says, so what should you do? So wait till after you shecht, and then you check the lungs to make sure there's no nekiv in the reya. And then you see there's no nekiv, then you can say the bracha. So some learn that the Ramah, the Shach learned the Ramah is Paschal and like the Ozarah, that B'dieved you can say Bracha Lachar Asiyosim. And others interpret, no, the Ramah holds that in this case, Akati Gavra Lachasi, since the Halacha says that you're not allowed to say a Bracha in advance, because we Paschal, if you know that you're Shechting a Trefa, so you don't say a Bracha on Shechitas a Trefa, not like Rashi. So it's Akati Gavra Lachasi, in this case, you weren't able to recite the Bracha Lachar Asiyosim. After you Shechted, what are you going to do? You really can. You can check it through an x-ray machine to see if it has a hole in the lungs. Okay, now, Mizmanazeh is away. So the Ramah didn't have the x-ray machine. And Mizmanazeh, I don't know, the shadow never comes up. The behemoths don't roll down, don't fall down a flight of stairs. So, are you mechuyev to spend so much money to check it on an x-ray in order to be able to say the bracha evel asiyosim? I don't know. Cost money to use an x-ray machine. So some achrayim learn pshat and the Ramah that the Gemara made an exception to the rule. Whenever it's akati gabra lochas, whenever the halacha says that you cannot say the bracha over lasiyosim, like by the ger, or like by the dalad minim, it'll be over the over if you say the bracha before you pick it up. Then kach tikna chacham to say the bracha lachar asiyosim. Okay. So again, so the Ozarua claims the pshat in the Mishnah at the end of Pesachim is Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva have the machlokes. Rabbi Shmuel says there's an ikar and a tofel here, just like there's a din of ikar and tofel in Brichas Hanenin. If you have the potato with the salt with the margarine on it, and you're eating the ikar together with the tofel, you're eating the ikar first and the tofel second. The Brich Halika Patas Hatfelo. So that rule applies to Brichas Hamitzvos as well. Namely, Korban Pesach is the Iker, Chagigas Habos is the Tofel. They say Bracha and the Iker covers the Tofel. We don't pass like Rabbi Shmuel, we pass like Rabbi Akiva. So what Nekuda exactly does Rabbi Akiva disagree? So one could interpret that Rabbi Akiva disagrees in principle. There is no such thing as Iker and Tofel and Mitzvahs. In Brichas Hanenin, it's judged subjectively. What are you interested in? Why are you interested in eating this? No, he's really only interested in eating the peres genoisa. We had the Gemara. The peres genoisa is so sweet, so then he eats the herring. Then the herring is so salty that he has to have the piece of bread. So all he has to say is a bracha on the peres genoisa, burpi waits. Then there's no need to say a bracha on the salty herring. And then memele, there's a tuffel to the tuffel, then there's no need to say a bracha on the bread. Or, Tosfos gave another case. The person said a bracha on the peres genoisa, and it was so sweet. He didn't realize at the time that he's going to have a herring later on. He didn't realize how sweet it's going to be. And then an hour later, he realizes, hey, this is so sweet. It left too much of a flavor of sweetness in his mouth. So an hour later, or he's in a different location, the Shini Makam, then he realizes he needs to eat a herring, a salty herring, to offset the extra flavor of the sweetness of the peres genoiser. So then he has to say bracha on the herring. But then the herring is the ikar, then it patas, the bread is the tefil. Yeah. So that's the question. Does Rabbi Akiva disagree? In principle, he holds that ikar and tefil doesn't apply to birchas hamitzvah, only applies to birchas hanenah. Or does he agree, but he holds over here, neither is a tefil. Nothing is a tefil. Every mitzvah is an ikar. Ikar and tefil is only in birchas hanenah. Birchas hamitzvah, there's no ikar and tefil. So anybody remember the Gemara, the Talmud Bavli? The Gemara says on that Mishnah that the Machlekes Rabbi Akiva Mishmael is it really an ikar? Is it really a tefil? Is the Chagigas HaBasar really a tefil? Because the way you do this Rikas HaDam is different by the Korban Pesach. By Korban Pesach you have Shficha, Dam is Vachecha, you Shofech. And by the Chagigas HaBasar you have a Zrika. So it's a Machlekes HaTanaim, is it ikar and tefil or not? It sounds like Rabbi Akiva agrees in principle that there is a din of ikar and tefil. By mitzvahs also, by Birchas HaMitzvahs also. He just disagreed that this is not a good example of an ikar and a tefil. Do we ever have a case in Shulchan Aruch that it says you don't say a bracha on a mitzvah because it's a tefil to a different mitzvah? So we have, there is a machlokes hatanaim in the Mishnah, in the last parak in Psochem, and Arvei Psochem, whether charosis is a mitzvah, is not a mitzvah min haTorah. There's no pasuk in Chumash by charosis. Charosis is a mitzvah mid the Rabbanon, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Apsarik. The Chachamim hold in the Mishnah, Charosis is not a mitzvah. It's only for health purposes. Because when you eat the maror, there may be a live worm there. The worm is a kosher worm. There are kosher worms and non-kosher worms. So the Gemara says it may be a worm, which is kosher. But if you have live worms crawling around in your stomach, it's not healthy. So the guy may eat the maror and swallow the worm, and it's going to be crawling around in his stomach. So in order to kill the worm, you should dip the maror in charoises, so that either dipping in the charoises or hold it above charoises, and the worm will die from the smell, from the reach of the charoises. So there's a machlokes hatanaim. So the Chacham hold in the Mishnah that charoises is not a mitzvah. It's just mishum kippah, because of the worm. Kuf yud pei al, mishum kippah. It's for health purposes. And Rabbi Elazar ben Apsarik says the charoses is a mitzvah. So how do we paskin? So there's a stir in the Rambam. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis writes, "Ein halacha ka Rabbi Elazar ben Apsarik, we do not paskin charoses mitzvah, b'haraya, that if charoses would have been a mitzvah, so every Haggadah would have another bracha, shekadishana b'mitzvah, zavet zivano, al achilos charoses." Why al achilos charoses? There's a mitzvah to eat charoses. He should have said, al tfilos amara b'charoses. So it sounds from the Rambam, unless anybody know Arabic. Someone should look in the original Arabic. We should look in Rabbi Kapach's translation. Maybe he has a correction there. That's in all the standard editions of the Pirush HaMishnayis. It says, if we would have passed on like Rabbi Elazar ben Apsarik, then there would have been another bracha l'achilas charoses. The fact that no Haggadah has that is a hachach that we don't pass on like Rabbi Elazar ben Apsarik. So the Rambam, the way it's translated by us, seems to hold that if charoses is a mitzvah, it's not only a mitzvah to dip the mar in the charoses, it's a mitzvah to eat charoses, al achilos charoses. We should check that in Kapach's translation. Maybe there's something fishy there. And the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah writes, charoses is a mitzvah. Even if you don't have any worms at all in the maror, it's still a mitzvah mid the Rabbanan. Why is it a mitzvah mid Rabbanan? So the Gemara has three suggestions. Either tzech of a tapuach, tachas ha-tapuach ha-raticha, or it's, what are the other reasons? Or it's tzech of a tit, they had to build all those pyramids and they used to use cement, so it has to be thick like cement, or you have to pour in a lot of red wine, so it's tzech of a dam. Tzech of a dam, that the Jewish blood that was spilled by the Egyptians. So there are three different opinions. The Bavli has two suggestions and the Yerushalmi has the Zech al Adam. So you have all the three suggestions. That's even if you have white wine, then on Pesach night of the Seder, you should pour in red wine. As you're about to dip in the mur, into the charoses, you pour in a lot of red wine and there should be a puddle of red wine. That should be Zech al Adam. That should remind us of the Jewish blood that was spilled in Egypt. So the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah writes, charoses is a mitzvah, nonetheless the bracha is not recited. So the Lach Mishnah on the commenting on the Rambam, points out that he backed out on 2 points. He backed out, number one, whether we pass on like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Sadek, like the Chachamim. So in the Mishnah Torah, he paskins Chayroses is a mitzvah like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Sadek. Then number two, despite the fact that he paskins like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Sadek, a bracha is not recited. So the Torah raises the question, why not? Why is a bracha not recited on the Chayroses? So the Torah and other Rishonim also, the Sefer Hashlama, I think, on the Rif, the Torah and other Rishonim say that it's an ikir and a tofel. Since the ikir of the charoses is to dip the maror in, true, there's an additional kavon el charoses, either zecha letit, zecha letapuach, zecha ledam, but the ikir kavon is to dip the maror in. So it's an ikir and a tofel, and since you said a bracha on the maror, so there's no need to say a bracha on the charoses. So the Torah holds la loche that Rabbi Shmuel is right. Rabbi Shmuel in the last Mishnah, the last daf in Psochim, that Ikim and Tofel is not only applicable to Birchas HaNenen, even applies to Birchas HaMitzvah. Except in that Mishnah, in the end of Psochem, we pass like Rabbi Akiva, neither the Pesach is the Ikim nor the Chagigas HaBos is the Ikim. They're both Ikim and the Tofel. They're both Ikim, they're both very important, and you can't say Chagigas HaBos is a Tofel to the Pesach. But if you have a case where you'll have two mitzvahs, and one will be tofel to the other, and Rabbi Akiva will agree with Rabbi Shmuel. And that's the case by the Morer. And the Charoi says that the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah holds a bracha is not recited. And the Charoi says because it's a tofel to the Morer, and the bracha was recited on the Morer. One could have said, yeah, but the Babli seems to say like that. One could maybe the Rishalmi doesn't agree. Maybe there are others who disagree and hold that in principle, the idea of Iker and Tofel shouldn't apply to mitzvahs. See, that's the Shaila. We have two cases of Birchas HaNenen where we say, Asa l'hanes mon ala man zeh b'lai bracha doesn't apply. You're allowed to eat the food without a bracha. It doesn't need a bracha. One case is, if you ate the first bit of food, that's bar pi hu'ei, and you can eat the rest without a bracha. That can to be mafsik. So the bracha doesn't relate to it. Once you're mafsik, the bracha doesn't relate anymore. So the bracha only has to relate to the first bit of food. And the rest of the same food, the rest of fruits. You said ho eats, and you want to eat a lot of fruits. So the bracha eats only relates to the first bit of fruit, and then the rest doesn't need a bracha. And the same thing, ikr and tofel, you said a bracha on the ikr, so the tofel doesn't need a bracha. It's muta to eat it, muta to have it without a bracha. So that's the question. Tosis had 2 days about if you're shechting 100 chickens, one after the other. Stomach test is how you're shechting 2 chickens. They never had such a system, a conveyor belt with shochtim like we have today. So test is how the shayla does the so usually, the shechet has an hour. He says, bracha ala shechita, then he shechts and he shechts. So if you go out of your mind, you can't talk for an hour. You go off your mind. So they don't talk for the first 20 minutes, and then they can't control themselves. So then they start talking. Start to talk and learning, okay. But it's still a hefsik. It's still a hefsik. They don't talk about the weather and the politics. They talk and learning, but it's still a hefsik. So the shaila is, according to that opinion in Tosfos, that by Birchas HaMitzvah, every mitzvah needs a bracha. There's no such thing as a mitzvah that you, as long as you said a bracha, let's say I have a house with 20 rooms and I need 20 mezuzahs. So I said bracha, lekver, mezuzah, and then I put up mezuzah number one, number two, number three. I put up all 20 mezuzahs without talking. But if I'm going to talk in between the 15th mezuzah and the 16th mezuzah, maybe then I have to say the bracha over again. I have to repeat the bracha again because each mezuzah is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. Does the bracha relate to everything? So l'chatchila you shouldn't talk. What a bidi evit. Would you insist that he has to repeat it? So Tosfos had the 2 days by shechita. Shechita is really not a good example. Shechita mezuzah is a more serious question. Shechita is a question, is shechita really a mitzvah? Is shechita really a mitzvah? So the Rambam has a sefer mitzvahs, and the Rambam counts as one of the mitzvahs to shecht an animal. When you're interested in eating meat, there's no mitzvah to shecht if you're not interested in eating meat. It's a conditional mitzvah. If you have a house that has a rooftop that's used, the rooftop in my building is not used. It's all locked and they don't want any tenants to use the roof. Someone can fall off and get killed. So we don't need any maka on the rooftop. But if you have a rooftop that is used by the people, The rooftop ayahs only use when they have to fix the roof. It's leaking in somewhere. So the guy goes to fix it, knows that he has to be careful not to fall down. But if you don't use the rooftop on a normal basis, on a regular basis, then you don't need a maka. So, maka is a conditional mitzvah. Pidyon HaBen. My first baby was a girl, so we didn't have to do Pidyon HaBen. Mitzvah on the father to be mother baby. If you only have girls, you have no boys, so you have no mitzvah to be mother your baby. If there are conditional mitzvahs. So the Rambam writes that Mila, that the Shechita is a mitzvah. So the simple reading of the Rambam is that if and when one is interested in eating meat, then there's a mitzvah to shech. So that's the question. How are we in fulfillment of that mitzvah today? I'm interested in having some flesh tonight. But I get my wife took the flesh from the freezer. It was probably geshochten 5 years ago. It was sitting in the freezer somewhere else for about a deep freeze somewhere. So how was I yotze the mitzvah? So we mentioned that someone mentioned here that Reb Chaim Berlin wrote that they have a collection of letters and tshuvas by Reb Chaim Berlin. He was the son of the Netziv. Reb Meir Bar Ilan was the son from the second wife, much younger than Reb Chaim Berlin. Reb Chaim Berlin was son of the Netziv from his first wife. So Reb Chaim Berlin has in one of his letters that someone sent him a sefer, and the sefer he writes this chiddush that when you're interested in eating fleishigs tonight, and your wife cooks the chicken for you, so it's a gloyim milson amafreya that the shechet who shechted it 5 years ago had you in mind. He has in mind whoever's going to eat the meat, he's doing the mitzvah, he's functioning as a shliach on their behalf. Maybe the meat was geshechted before I was born. It could be it's in a deep freeze for the last 78 years. Maybe it was geshechted before I was born. Who knows? Anyway, so the Reb Chaim Berlin thinks that it's not true. He doesn't think that that's scary. What do you mean? The shechet has a mind to act as a shliach on behalf of whoever wants to eat the meat. So he thinks that the Ravid is masig on that Rambam. Just like we have Hasogas HaRavid on the running Hasogas HaRavid on the Rambam. So we have Hasogas HaRavid on the Sefer HaMitzvahs as well. All the Hasogas here in this edition are printed before the Shoresh HaRishon. Sefer HaMitzvahs has two halves. The first half of the Sefer, he gives you what he considers the 14 guiding principles that determine what belongs in Sefer HaMitzvahs, what not. Then the second half, he lists off the actual Minyan Mitzvah Sesen and the Minyan Mitzvah Slay Sesen. So before the Shoresh HaRishon, before the first of the 14 Klolem, you have all the Hasogas HaRavid printed on the side. Whoa. So he has. There used to be a Hasogas HaRavid. I said, where is it? I can't see. Ishchot. I think it's Mitzvah Kuf Mem Vav. I can't read too well here. Omer Avram, Zu Ein Lo Ta'am, El Alaf Abom Mechlal Aseh. When it says, V'zavachta Kasher Tzivisicha, it says, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you'll be interested, and you live far away from the Beis HaMikdash, and you can't bring it as a Korban Shlomim, so then V'zavachta Kasher Tzivisicha. That's called B'sar Taiva. Why is it called B'sar Taiva? Because in the Chumash, B'sar Taiva means you eat Chuvin. B'em HaSchulin is called B'sar Taiva. The Chumash says, Kisava napshach alecha basa b'chalavas napshach atizbach v'achalta basa. And it says, v'zavachta kashet tzivisicha. So the Rambam says, lishchot behema. It's a mitzvah to shech the behema. The Rambam says, it's not a mitzvah to shech the behema. If you buy nevela meat from the A&P that never had a shechita, so not only are you in violation of a loisese, of loisach l'kol nevela, you're also in violation of a lav habom echlal asay. That's what he writes. He thinks that v'zavachta kashet tzivisicha is not a kiyam asay, it's an Iser Esi. So the Kesed Mishnah defends the Rambam. This Kesed Mishnah here. Rabbi Yosef Karo. So the Kesed Mishnah defends the Rambam. Says, no. The Rambam holds that it's a Kiyum Esi. It's a mitzvah, Saseh. Whenever you're interested in shechting flesh, it's a mitzvah that you should shech properly. And the Shitasa, the Kesed Mishnah, writes on the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Shechita, Perek Aleph, Perek Beis, he thinks that the Rambam really holds that it's a mitzvah lishchot. And therefore, it's shach to say that there's a lechatchila deraisa on this mitzvah. Tosfos writes in the end of Nida, we mentioned a few times already, in this year. Tosfos writes at the end of Nida that l'chatchila, if l'chatchila he needs something, but he ever did good without it, so that's a siman that it's only midirabbanan. Let's say l'chatchila get should be written like this, and b'di'evad if he wrote to get not like that, b'di'evad to get his kosher. So Tosfos said that's a dead giveaway that the whole din l'chatchila is only midirabbanan. And a get l'chatchila should be done like this. A get is not a mitzvah. It's a hida mitzvah to write the get on a plaque of gold. It's not a mitzvah. And there's no hida mitzvah. Yishatchila l'chatchila the get should be written a very beautiful script. You should get the best sefer and have a very fancy script. There is not. That's in a Sefer Torah. When you write it's the Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzah, that's a mitzvah. So then there's an inyan of Hidah mitzvah. Again, there's not a mitzvah. There's no inyan of Hidah mitzvah. So you can't have a l'chatchila deraisa by get. If there's a din l'chatchila, should it be done like this, but the evidence is good without that. So by get, it's clear that it's only midirabban. Let's say by tzitzis, l'chatchila, you have to have tchelis and lovan. If you have Lovan without tchelis, he only yotze b'di'eved. So that's a l'chatchila deraisa because tzitzis is a mitzvah. So you say there's a mitzvah b'shleimusa is done like this, and b'di'eved it's a mitzvah shlo b'shleimusa. Or let's say chalitza is always like that. You need chalitza and rikike and kriyas habsukim. So we pass on halacha that the rikike is not miyakev and the kriyas habsukim is not miyakev. The only thing that's miyakev is a chalitza sasandal, the taking off of the shoe from the right foot. So how come there's a din l'chatchila? You have a l'chatchila deraisa. So Tosfos answers in the end of Nida because chalitza is a mitzvah. It's not just not merely a matzah. It's a mitzvah to perform the chalitza. Some say it's even a mitzvah if the woman is not interested in being married. That's a machlokes achronim. When is there a mitzvah of chalitza? The mitzvah is only if she's interested in remarrying, or even if she's not interested in remarrying. Also a mitzvah. So that's a machlokes. But chalitza clearly is a mitzvah. So therefore, it's shach to have a l'chatchila derais. So the Rambam paskins that there's a l'chatchila, the Kes Mishnah learns pshat in the Rambam. One could learn not like that. The Kes Mishnah, Hilchas Shechita, beginning of Hilchas Shechita, learned pshat in the Rambam that Shechita is a mitzvah, so it's shach to have a l'chatchila deraisa by Shechita in order to do the mitzvah b'shleimusa. And if you'll violate it, you'll be in fulfillment of the mitzvah shalo b'shleimusa. This is l'shitosa that here in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, mitzvah kuf, what did I say? Kuf mem vav. I think it says either kuf tezvav or kuf mem vav, I'm not sure. So he the Kes Mishnah learns over here, he defends the Rambam. Rambam holds that it is a mitzvah. And Rab Chaim Berlin writes, he doesn't agree with the Kes Mishnah. He thought that the Rambam said the same as the Ravid. The Rambam didn't mean to say that it's a mitzvah lishcha. So that's a question. When Tosfos had the two days, they have to keep quiet, the shechet has to keep quiet from the moment he says the bracha till he shechets all 100 behemoths that he plans to shecht. They're not allowed to talk at all. And the other opinion is that it's okay. He may talk. That's the same as Bichas Hanenes. So it could be that Shechita is not really a mitzvah. It could be that Shechita is not a mitzvah. So the bracha ala Shechita is a bracha on a matir. Maybe it's not a Bichas HaMitzvah. Even though the nusach is Shekishana b'mitzvah yisav tzivanu ala Shechita, but it could be that it's not really a Bichas HaMitzvah. It's a different kind of a bracha. So maybe there it doesn't bother me the fact that he talks in between Shechita number 86, Shechita number 87. He's going to talk. Maybe it's like Birchas Hanenin, but let's say he has 20 mezuzahs to put up on his home, and then he talks in between the 15th and the 16th mezuzah, and each one is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. So it could be that even the Tosfos who's mekel by the even that opinion of Tosfos mekel to talk in between the first Shechita and the second Shechita, maybe they would agree that if you talk in the middle of all of the kfiyas mezuzahs, maybe then you would have to repeat the bracha. So that's the shaila. That's why there's room to one. See, by eating food, we can understand that the first bit of food that you eat needs a bracha, and the rest doesn't require a bracha. The whole thing is only with the rabbana. And then just like you say, the second bit of food that you eat doesn't need a bracha. So too, if you have an ikam and a tofel, all you need is a bracha on the ikam. Kach tikno chacham. You don't need a bracha on the tofel. But if you're going to say by Birchas HaMitzvah, that a Birchas HaMitzvah, you can never talk in between, if you're repeating the same mitzvah 20 times, you're putting on 20 mezuzahs. You say, if you're talking between the 15th and the 16th mezuzah, you got to say another bracha on the 16th mezuzah, Because every mitzvah needs a bracha. Why should you say that only the first time you do the mitzvah you need a bracha, next time you don't need a bracha? It's also only midirabbanan. Birchas mitzvah also only midirabbanan. But there's room to argue that there should be a difference between birchas hanenin and birchas mitzvah. And birchas mitzvah, maybe every time you do a mitzvah, you want to give it the chashivas to recite the birchas mitzvah. So if you're talking between the 15th and the 16th mezuzah, maybe you wouldn't have to repeat the bracha. So if one is pushing to say that distinction between birchas mitzvah and birchas hanenin, then it should have come. There is room to argue the point and say that when you have an ikum and a tofel, birch halika would not apply. Patas ha-tofel shouldn't apply. Because they're similar in this sense. The first bit of food needs a bracha, the rest doesn't need a bracha. When you say bracha on the ikar, the tofel does need a bracha. So if you say by birchas mitzvah, the whole concept doesn't apply. Every mitzvah, every time you do a mitzvah, every mitzvah has the same chashivish as the other mitzvah. You only need a bracha. The first mezuzah that you hang up, the next 19 mezuzahs don't need a bracha. All the 20 mezuzahs are equally important. So if you're gunning out to require, if you're insisting that every mitzvah needs a bracha, no such thing as doing a mitzvah without a bracha. So maybe the Ikar and Tofel shouldn't apply. So that's a shot of Rabbi Akiva, disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel and the Mishnah in the end of Psochim. And he holds that the Ikar and the Tofel doesn't apply to Chagigas HaBosah, but the Korban Pesach is only a local machloikas here. Lozu Tofel Lezu, Lozu Tofel Lezu. But by Marer and Charoi says maybe it is an Ikar and Tofel, then even Rabbi Akiva will agree. Or maybe Rabbi Akiva holds that no such thing as Ikar and Tofel in Birchas HaMitzvah. Maybe every mitzvah needs a bracha.
Is Rabbi assuming that the food, each bite is a separate Indian, separate mitzvah? Or maybe we should have said just like by Birchas HaMitzvah, there are more shittas that hold if you do one mitzvah, like Bedikas Chametz, you did one room. So similar, Tosfos has in Kuf Tevav and Pesach and by Marer, and then you're going to eat the karpas and you're having Marer, one bracha. Even if you make a big hafsek, it's not a problem for the later mitzvah because you started the mitzvah. It's one big mitzvah. The same thing with Tekiyas Meyusha, Meruma. You can make a hafsek in between, that's Tosfos says. But maybe that's, you wouldn't say that by two different mitzvahs, multiple mitzvahs. So maybe by the food, it's one hafsek. Is that equal comparison between the food?
One hafsek there, and so therefore what?
Maybe it's not the, maybe by the food, since it's one hafsek, so that's why the hafsek is not a problem. Not because they're in shem mitzvahs and the same, it's just food is a unit, and it's like bedikas chametz has one unit, mezuzahs are multiple. Is that?
Means that this achila, the brach wasn't it starved to this achila. See, that's what we have to research. David Pabaski has quite a few simonim in his sefer on this topic. What's the nature of that din? That if you started eating food and you didn't talk in between the bracha and the first bit, and you swallowed the first bit of food, then you're allowed to talk. So why is that? So is that because the rest doesn't need a bracha, or the bracha does relate to it? He's picking on a Shagas Aryeh. There's a Shagas Aryeh that he's not happy with. So he has around five or six essays about this topic. We got to read it. Okay, that's the homework. We got to read what he has to say. There's a Shagas Aryeh on the Mishnah later. The Mishnah says, where's this Mishnah? It's coming up very soon. If a person by mistake says Bari Pri Ha'adama on an apple, so but the evidence is Yotze, but if you say Bari Pri Ha'etz on a potato, you're not Yotze. That's the Mishnah on Mem Amar Aleph. If he said Bari Pri Ha'adama on an apple, you're Yotze B'di'evet. So the Shagas Aryeh says, you're Yotze B'di'evet, you can eat the apple. Or let's say I decide I wanted to eat five apples. He's very hungry. He hasn't eaten in a week. So he wants to eat five apples. So he says Bari Pri Ha'adama. So he can eat all the five apples. But B'di'evet made a mistake. He said Bari Pri Ha'adama. So he can eat all the five apples. But then he plans, after he finishes eating all the five apples, he wants to have an orange also. So the orange is also covered with the bracha Bari Pri Ha'adama. So the Shagas Aryeh says, no, it's only good b'di'evet on that Michael. If he eats up another Michael, even though the apples, oranges, pears, it's all Bari Pri Ha'etz, but it's not another apple. It's a pear, it's an orange, it's a different fruit. So that b'di'evet would not be covered with the Bari Pri Ha'adama on the first fruit. Why not? So that's what Rav David Parvatsky has in a sefer. He's not happy with the Shach Zayis. So he discusses what's the nature of that din, that if he said a bracha and you're not mapsik between the bracha and the first bit of food, that's okay. And then you may talk in between the first bit and the rest. So is that because the rest, Rav Soloveitchik said, the rest doesn't need a bracha? So that's questionable. Does that apply to mitzvahs? So that's surprising that Tosfos had the 2 days by Shechita. So one could argue and say, well, Shechita is not really a mitzvah. Shechita is not really a mitzvah, and it's not really a bichas mitzvah. Maybe if it would be 20 mezuzahs, maybe even that opinion of Tosfos would agree that by 20 mezuzahs, you would have to say a new bracha. If you're talking between the 15th and the 16th, maybe you would need a bracha. Maybe it's only by Shechita, but it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like Tosfos is assuming that the bracha on Shechita is a bichas mitzvah. So that's, you got to figure out this topic. Okay, so this was the introduction. Now we got to start giving the shiur. So the shiur is on the last 15 lines in the Tosfos Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. The top Tes Botza LeShiur Od Yesh BiYerushalmi. A fella has a turmasa. A turmasa is a bari priho adama. So turmasa is some kind of a vegetable. The Gemara says on the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. Then on a normal turmasa, you say bari pri ha'adam. And it's not nechel kamo shehu chai. Turmas is some kind of a vegetable that no normal person eats it when it's raw. You have to cook it. They used to cook it 7 times. Fine. So the fellow says bari pri ha'adam. He's about to eat the turmas. And he drops it and it falls down. He's standing on the street. It falls down the sewer and he can't retrieve it. It falls in a mud pie and he's not going to eat it. So now he wants to eat a different turmas. So since he had in mind the first turmas, and that turmas disappeared, so now he has to say a new bracha on the second turmas. See, it is a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. When does this apply? So the Mechaber holds that it applies. The Mechaber holds that bracha only relates to the first bit of food that you eat. The 2 turmasin. And he plans to eat both. But the bari pri hadam is only going to relate to the first morsel of food that he swallows. And that he planned that first bit of food, he has 2 apples, let's say. He planned the first bit of food is going to be in the 1 apple that he's holding in his hand. And then that went halach libud. And then he has, so the second turmas was going to be mutar to eat without a bracha. But the bracha was never chala on the second turmas. The bracha was only chala on the first mashahu that he planned to eat from the first turmas. And that turmas fell down the drain, fell down in the garbage. So that's why I said another bracha. So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch between the Mechaber and the Ramah. What if the fella had in mind to eat more? So the Ramah says if he had in mind to eat 2 turmas and he dropped it, even though he held the first one in his hand, and he dropped it, he doesn't have to say another bracha because he had in mind to eat all the stuff. So what does that mean? So it's like you said, since it's all turmas, if he has a mind to eat a turmas and then to eat potatoes and then to eat carrots and then to eat different kinds of vegetables. So I think the Ramah would also agree. The bracha was only chal on the turmas, on the first thing. And then all the other vegetables don't need a bracha. You don't need a bracha. But the bracha was chal on the turmas. So if he dropped the first turmas and he had planned to eat the second turmas anyway, then the Ramah says he doesn't have to say another bracha. But let's say he had 1 turmas and 1 potato and 1 onion and he wanted to eat 1 after the other. Then the Ramah would agree. I think the Ramah would agree over there. So it's like you were saying, if you want to eat a lot of turmas, that's 1 big achila. Then you want to eat also other food that have the same bracha. That's a new achila. That achila is muta without a bracha. But the first eating all the turmas in, that's all one big achila. So the bracha relates to whatever turmas you eat first. The bracha relates. And the Mechaber says, not so. The bracha only relates to the first mashahu that you plan to eat. The rest is mutabali bracha. So if the first turmas fell into the garbage, you can't retrieve it. Then he has to say bracha on the second turmas, even though he did plan to eat the second turmas. That's not machlokes, the mechaber the Rambam. Then the discussion: a person gets an aliyah, and the Balkari shows him the place. So the Gemara says pasach v'roya. The Gemara has on the last daf in Megillah, pasach v'roya. You have to open up the Sefer Torah and look where the Kriyas HaTorah is going to be. So by mistake, the Balkari showed him the wrong place. He shows him this week is Parshas Truma. He shows him Parshas Mishpatim. So he showed him the wrong place. So there's a machloikis. The Ramos said that if you plan to eat two turmesin, plan to eat five turmesin, and you said the brach on the first one and it fell down, so you plan to eat another four turmesin. So you eat the brach eschal on the whole achila. All the turmesin, the brach eschal on you're not allowed to talk in between the bracha and the beginning of the eating of the turmas, but then it's one long achila, it's one big achila on all the turmas. So if the first turmas disappeared, so he can eat the second one, the bracha will be chal on that. So what's it doing over here by Kriyas HaTorah? If they showed the Olam HaTorah, they showed him the wrong place. So some Rishonim say, the Torah is the Torah, it's all the same thing, what's the difference? It's all the same thing. It's a din that you have to learn Parshas Truma this week. Moshe Rabbeinu made a takana that Shelo Yochel Shloshes Yomim B'Loi Torah. You have to have Kriyas HaTorah on Sheni V'Chamishi and Shabbos. That's it. So whatever you learn is great. Then there was a later takana that you should complete Kol HaTorah Kula by covering everything. So in Eretz Yisrael, the practice used to be, it took 3 years. Every sedra was divided into three sections. There are three times as many sedras as we have. We have only Gimel Nun. The Zohar says there are 53 sedras. We have 54. So the sedra that doesn't count, there's a question, which is the one that doesn't count? So some say that the Tzava doesn't count, because Moshe Rabbeinu, after Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the only sedra that doesn't have his name is Parshas Tetzaveh. Because Parshat Tetzaveh, always the week of Zayin Adar, when Moshe Rabbeinu disappeared, when he died. He was born on Zayin Adar, but he died on Zayin Adar. So because Moshe Rabbeinu disappeared on Zayin Adar, so that's why, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished him, so to speak, that he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive the Jewish people. And if you don't forgive the Jewish people, so take my name out from the Sefer Torah. That's why some interpret the pasuk, take my name out. Probably doesn't mean that. Probably means there's a Sefer HaChaim. There's a Sefer that has a list of all the living people. Then the Sefer HaMesim. Sefer HaChaim is Sefer HaMesim. Psuch Malafon of Rosh Hashanah. It probably means take my name out from the Sefer HaChaim. Put my name in the Sefer HaMesim and let me die. That's the Poshim Pshat. So the others interpret probably an additional level of interpretation. It's not Pshut Tushan Mikra. Pshut Tushan Mikra, I think, means Sefer HaChaim. So they say that it was a killas chacham afil al tanai niska yemes. Moshe Rabbeinu was a chacham. So he said, Mechenin HaMesifra, take my name out of the Sefer Torah if you don't forgive the Jewish people. The Baruch Shalom did forgive the Jewish people. But it was a killas chacham. Moshe Rabbeinu gave himself a klala. So killas chacham afil al tanai niska yemes. So Moshe Rabbeinu's name was removed from the Torah and Parshas Tetzaveh. Why Parshas Tetzaveh? That's usually the week that Zayin Adar falls out. And the week of Parshas Tetzaveh. Yeah, it falls out the week of Parshas Tetzaveh according to the Minig B'nai Bavel, that they complete Kol HaTorah Kula once every year on Simchas Torah. According to the Minig of B'nai Eretz Yisrael, you keep on learning. Every Seder has, every Parshas HaShavuah has three, then you only learn Parshas Tetzaveh once every 3 years. It's not going to be that every year. It's not going to fall out on Zayin Adar at all. It's not going to be anywhere near Zayin Adar. And in Eretz Yisrael they had piyutim. When we have the piyutim for Siyama Sefer Torah, all on Simchas Torah, we say all of those piyutim. And Eretz Yisrael, they sometimes made, they rigged it. They sometimes celebrated the Siyama of the Chamish Shulchan Torah on Pesach, on Shavuos, and on Sukkos. We always finish it on Sukkos, on Simchas Torah. And Eretz Yisrael, they did rig it. But not every single year. They rigged it that it should always come out on a Yontif, and they added the piyutim on that Yontif. So that's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. If the person's supposed to get an aliyah today, so they showed him Parshas Mishpatim, if they showed him Shlishi or Revi in Parshas Truma, so they're going to lay from the beginning of Parshas Truma. So they may lay there. Or they showed him Tetzaveh. Tetzaveh is ahead. So the main lane, the meaning is you lay in Parshas Truma a couple of psukim. Three psukim for a coin, three psukim for a levi, and four psukim for the Yisrael. You have to have 10 psukim sachar kol. Somebody has to get 4. So either the kohen or the levi, so somebody gets 4. Whoever gets 4, it's a bigger and a better aliyah, the Gemara says. Okay. So the, but you can lay more than 3 psukim. You can lay more than 4 psukim. So you can lay into Parshas Tetzaveh also. So if they showed him by mistake the wrong place, and they showed him something that's ahead, so then we assume that's the right place. That's the right place. They showed him something that theoretically they may lay. But they showed him something in Parshas Mishpatim that was last week's Kriya. That's not this week's Kriya. So that's not Shach. They're not supposed to lay that today. So that's a Machlokes Achrayim. Is that the same as a Turmas? The Bracha relates. Also, the Hanis Marela Mazeh B'lay Bracha. So the Bracha relates to this Turmas. So the Bracha relates, the Birchas HaTorah, is that also Lilmod Balid Torah, also like that, and the Bracha relates to this Cheftza. But you say, no, Bracha, Birchas HaTorah. Birchas HaTorah, maybe the whole Din of Hahu Turmas, and maybe the whole Yerushalmi, doesn't carry over to Birchas HaTorah. And if it does carry over, so then we distinguish that if they showed him something in Mishpatim, then it's the wrong place. If they showed him something, there's something behind, it's the wrong place. So there's something forward. And the next column, so the Balkari may finish the whole column and go late on the next column. He's not going to necessarily stop after 3 or 4 psukim. He may decide to lane for the Koyin, the Aliyah this morning, 85 psukim. Tichat de Tzibur, people have to go to work. But strictly speaking, so that's all discussion in Shulchan Aruch. But the whole story begins. If you showed the Balkari, showed the Olah Latorah the wrong place and the Sefer Torah, the whole story begins from this Tosfos. That's the question that Beis Yosef quotes the discussion in the Rishonim. By Bichas HaNenen, you want to recite the bracha in connection with this particular food. The bracha relates to this food. So if you drop that food, you have a different food, then the bracha never related to the second food. But by the Kriyas HaTorah, that's the question. Does Bichas HaTorah relates to a particular parsha? Or Bichas HaTorah is an abstract? He gave us the Torah. It's not specifically related to this particular parsha. So we say that it does. We say that just like the Birchas HaNenen relates to this particular food that they're eating, the first bit of food, so too the Birchas HaTorah relates to this aliyah. It doesn't relate to Stam, Liman HaTorah in general. It relates to this aliyah. So let's say they're learning brachas this year. You get by mistake, he gets a Gemara Sukkah. He says a Birchas HaTorah. He says, the wrong Gemara. So then he takes the other Gemara. So he says a new bracha, because he's not learning brachas. I mean, he's not his class, they're not learning brachas. He could theoretically, if he wants to, he can learn Sukkah. It's not like Parshas HaShavua. Not the same. Yeah. Okay, I better stop because I got to leave. Okay. Believe that tomorrow night I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. I apologize. So I'm going to have to figure out when I'll be able to give a shiur by Skype. Tomorrow, I think this year is normal. There are more irregular days than regular days. I think tomorrow is a normal, regular day. I don't think I have anything else scheduled. Nothing scheduled for tomorrow. So we're going to have a regular day. Is what time? I forgot about it. 12:45. Okay. What mesechta? Yeah, that's a good question. Which mesechta we learn?